This is Reverend Kirk Lawton, minister at Ocean Lakes Family Campground, and this is our podcast. Our prayer is that this message may enrich your life as you find God especially meaningful to you. Thank you for worshiping with us. The early followers of Jesus were not only called Christians, they were also called people of the way. In Acts 9, verse 2, we read that Saul, persecutor of Christians, who was on his way to Damascus, having with him authority to bind and bring to Jerusalem any people that he found who were of the way. In Romans 3:12, Paul speaks of those who continued to commit evil. These, he said, are the ones who have all gone out of the way. Those who followed Christ were those who followed in His way. When there's work to be done, often little children have a way of sort of helping us to get it done. I've seen that many times with my own child. More often than not, their help turns out to be more hindering and watching than it is helping. When this intrusion becomes unbearable to the adult, then it may not be unexpected to hear those familiar, loving words come from the mouth of the adult, a command given to the child, "Oh, get out of the way." This morning we are looking at a question that we must each answer for ourselves, and the question is this: am I in the way? Of course, I'm not referring here to a situation whereby one impedes work, but I am talking about the Christian way. Am I in this way, you say? Well, I don't know exactly. Maybe some would say, let's take a closer look at this way. There's several things we might learn about the way if we take a closer look at the Bible. First thing I'd mention is that the entrance to this way is definite. It's clearly marked. It is designated. There's no need to wonder, really, if you're in this way. Not like riding down a highway in your car on a moonless night with no headlights on your car. No. Rather, it's like coming in for a landing at an airport and seeing that either side of the runway is brilliantly lined with bright spotlights flooding the runway, also indicating where the edge of the pavement is. Now, why is this entrance so definite, so clearly marked? It's because Jesus showed us the way. You remember before Jesus left this earth, he was talking one day with his disciples, and he said, "Where I am going, you know, and the way you know." John 14. It was at this point that that disciple whom we know of as Doubting Thomas spoke up and said rather bluntly, "Lord, we do not know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Then came that response from Jesus as he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." On other occasions, Jesus also said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." The Bible says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Wow, that's pretty plain, isn't it? Jesus is the way. He said that if we want to get to heaven, we must come through Him. There's no other way. Jesus did not say, "I'm one of many doors, a lot of different ways you can get to heaven. Doesn't make any real difference which one you choose." You ever heard that? What continues to amaze me these days is the number of people who read exactly what Jesus has said, and then they use human logic, or I might say illogic, and try to improve or change what our Lord has clearly declared. "We're all going to the same place. There are many ways to get there." Or others say, "Well, God is love, and He wouldn't send anybody to hell. Just do the best you can, be nice to your neighbor, and you'll go to heaven." Well, that's just foolish thinking and talking. Clean, honest living is surely a characteristic of one who is in the way, but that is not the door. Not doing a lot of bad things is truly commendable, but that's not the door to heaven either. outward acts of love, even doing good deeds for the church, cannot ensure that you're in the way unless you have first given your heart, your life to Jesus Christ. He is the way. He's the door. In one town in South Carolina, there's a church which was built and paid for, as we say, lock, stock, and barrel, by one man. It was erected in honor of his mother, and that church still carries her name. An elaborate system of magnificent chimes that were cast in Holland with a chime tower graces that edifice, that church building. No one knows the exact cost of the church building. The man who donated this was a self-made man, great humanitarian, a philanthropist, but he never joined the church he built. No external act on our part can ensure that we are in the way unless we have entered this way through the door, which is Jesus Christ. Yes, the entrance to this way is clearly marked. Let me say another thing about this way. That is that the way is like the gate. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus told us also very plainly that straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life. That's Matthew 7:14. Now, sadly, there are those who imply by their actions that they have this kind of outlook. Well, I made it. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. I came in through the only way, Jesus Christ. Now I'm on my way to heaven. I'm headed on the right road now. I'm pressing on the upward way. And since Jesus came into my heart, I believe I'll just settle down and do a bit of my own thing for a while. After all, we're living under grace, not under the law, aren't we? Now I'm safe and secure from all alarms, so I can do as I please, now that my name is on the church roll. Well, those who have feelings like these are just as wrong as they can possibly be. In fact, the scripture says that these people are farther from the kingdom of God than those who are out living in the vilest sin. These have, in essence, become insulated from the Spirit of God, whose voice they have shut out from daily communion, warmth, and fellowship. We have no reason at all to fool ourselves into thinking that the door, the gate to this way, is narrow. But then, after we enter, the way widens out. Again, Matthew 7:13, we read, "Broad is the way that leads to destruction." Now, having said these two things, let me mention just one third thing. That is, the way gives us a companion to travel with us. God is not going to set us out on the road to our heavenly home. And then after we've entered through the gate, Jesus, we've come through the door, our Lord Christ, He's not going to turn us loose then to shift for ourselves as best we can. Oh no, not at all. Rather, this is the time when the Lord is most ready to help us. We sing it sometimes in one of our hymns, "Just when I need Him, Jesus is near. Just when I falter, just when I fear, ready to help me, ready to cheer, just when I need Him most. Just when I need Him, Jesus is true, never forsaking all the way through, giving for burdens, pleasures anew, just when I need Him most. Just when I need Him, He is my all, answering when upon Him I call, tenderly watching, lest I should fall, just when I need Him most." There are those who might say, "Yes, preacher, God has promised to help us along the way, and I know I ought to live more like He wants me to. But you know, in my business and my everyday living, it would just be impractical for me to use pure Christian principles. It just wouldn't work." A number of years ago, as the English Parliament was deciding on one aspect of their foreign policy, one member of Parliament rose and said to the others, "Let us fashion our foreign policy on the Sermon on the Mount." Of course, this was not what many would call politically correct. And so another member of Parliament rose and countered with a sneer in his voice, and he said, "If we fashion our foreign policy on the Sermon on the Mount, then God help England." Back came the reply, "If we fashion our foreign policy on the Sermon on the Mount, then God will help England." Those who have internet access are well aware of the fact that much of which is received by email can be correctly considered urban legend, meaning it's not necessarily based in fact. However, I received some time ago a message from one of our very faithful attenders here at Ocean Lakes, which I believe is true. If it's not factually true, it certainly carries a true message. We know that multiplied thousands of people lost their lives some years ago in the devastation of a tsunami which struck several nations. A town by the name of Mulaba lost 80% of its inhabitants. This is one of the hardest hit by that destructive wave. In that town lived about 400 Christians. They wanted to celebrate Christmas on December the 25th, but they were not allowed to do so by the majority of the Muslims who lived in that town. They were told if they wanted to celebrate the birth of Christ, they'd have to go outside the city to a high hill and celebrate there. Well, because the Christians desired to celebrate Christmas, those 400 believers left their homes on December the 25th. And then when they went to celebrate Christmas, they decided to stay overnight on that hill outside of town. It was the very next day, December 26th, the tsunami waves destroyed most of the city and most of its inhabitants. But the 400 believers were on the mountain and were all saved from destruction. Following that, the Muslims were saying that the God of the Christians punished us for forbidding the Christians from celebrating in our city. Others were questioning why so many Muslims died and not even one of the Christians died there. Had the Christians insisted on their right to celebrate Christmas in the city, they probably would have all died too. But they humbled themselves and followed the orders of the ruling Muslims. They were all spared destruction, and they testified of God's marvelous protection. Now, you may question some of the ideas concerning this, but I believe this is a testimony to the grace of God and the fact that as believers, we really have no rights in this world. Our right is to come before God, commit our lives to Him. Our right is kneeling down before the Lord God Almighty and committing our ways to Him. He's our Father. He's quite capable of caring for His children. Yes, as we travel in the way, we do have a companion who will always travel with us, whatever the outcome may be. So the conclusion is a question. Are you in the way? Straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. But you can be one of those few. This is the glory of the gospel. Which way do you want? Your way or His way? Let's pray together. Thy way, not mine, O Lord, in things both great or small. Be Thou my guide, my strength, my wisdom, and my all. This we pray in the name of Jesus, who is the way. Amen.